Okay. This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the second interview with Herbert Leung on February 2nd, 1981. This is tape 4. Okay, I was asking you about portrayal of Chinese in movies. Chinese really weren't thinking about the negative way Chinese were portrayed, or?
Well, you know, the thing is, people weren't into all these stereotypes and as much as they are today, because I think probably the situation at that time was because of the fact that everyone was looking for him to get into, to the field or to be employed. And they looked at the people like Anna Mae Wong, even though she, you know, because I hear the Chinese talk about how they always looked up to her, as, you know, she worked in the movies, you know, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get people like Willie Fung, who always played the Chinese cook, and, you know, always made, you know, portraying him in the stereotype way, you know, he's always screaming at the cowboy, he's in a cowboy movie for something somebody's done, you know, Chinese chasing guy with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always, you know, told to cook and so forth, and it's on the set of the day, you know, whatever. So all this stuff is, at that time, people just weren't on it, because even the blacks were portrayed as, you know, dancers, tap dancers, and some of the things that they were, you know, got the laugh from the audience. Maybe there was some of this going on, but there wasn't any of this openness as far as the negative portrayal that people come up and criticize, and there weren't any movements. The Chinese were always portrayed as servants, valets or servants in the laundry or whatever, or, you know, cooks. And there wasn't that much.
Of course, people told me that they didn't mind, because that's the way, those were the occupations of the Chinese, and that's what they were doing.
That's true, probably too, because like I indicated earlier, we were limited to what we were doing. But I think another thing, that the rights movement wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
There was still a lot of biases. I mean, if all these things exist, people were accepting them. The Japanese were accepting the thing, the Chinese were, you know, you were told, no, you couldn't go to this, you can't do that. Nobody was brought up to any commission or any organization or any agency to make a protest.
I was told by another person I interviewed that there was somebody by the name of Monroe Leung who used to write letters of protest to various.
Monroe lives right down the street from me. He's still there.
Uh-huh.
I can give you an address later, but I don't know what it is. He still walks down, but now you better get him fast, because, no, not fast, but okay. Please don't tell him that, but he's had. So he walks up and down the street every day. Of course, he works in his house because he's an artist. And he walks all the time to get his exercise because he has to.
He's had heart trouble?
I guess he had. But just that, like my father-in-law, we wanted to interview him back, several years back, when this thing was just beginning.
Oh.
And my wife said, gee, you got to interview my father, because, you know, he was talking to us when they were sitting at the table. We told him about he was in San Diego in 1900 or 1910, around that time, how he went back there, and how one of his brothers went to Australia. He left his wife here in L.A., San Diego. He went back to take care of business in China.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, and told about the China. He was about one of the few in San Diego, and all the San Diego things. I told my wife, said, well, I'll get him in the summer, so I don't forget when he was, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm not saying that he's good, but he's got that,
Yeah, I would like to ask him about the movie, since I heard that he did write letters.
I'll put a note for him.
Okay.
Use a U or O and G.
What types of jobs did Chinese of your parents' generation consider deal for your generation?
Well, when you talk about the women, many of them, say them, a large number of the women did not finish, I mean, did not go beyond high school. A large, a significant number. Many of them work as a clerical or a bookkeeper or something like that. This was it. And for men, well, some of them went to college and some went to junior college, like I started just before the war. But I think we got a job working, you know, in a gas station, in a produce house, or driving a truck or something like that. Might have been something because of the fact that we were limited to what we could move into. So these are some of the few things. If you go to school, a lot of them were looking to go into, you know, most of China went to engineering, the Japanese did too.
Was that something that was encouraged by parents, to go into engineering?
Well, because when you look at, most people feel most comfortable where they gain success. And language is a limiting factor with Chinese, for example, or any group that has a limit where the parents don't, you know, English is not your primary language at home and in a community. A lot of these people, they still, like, I remember when I was a kid, we 10th Street, you go down there, you hear all these guys hollering, don't, you know, do I sign or say yep. But, you know, so you don't get a chance to develop your language, so your success is usually in those things where you do the best. That's numbers. And you push yourself to become better in school in those areas where you can do best. Usually the language area is where you have difficulty in achieving success because of your limitation and you're usually behind it. You don't read as many books and you don't do as many things, so your literature, everything falls behind the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't go in those areas because you're going to be competing with people in school who make you look like a person who is significant, well, dumb. You can't utter anything intelligible. I think most of the time Chinese also feel more secure in going into something where they don't have to work with other people. Like, they work by themselves, you know, being an engineer or a doctor or a dentist, you're not going out there to work with people. It's, you know, in other words, you do work with people in a sense, but you're not up there where you have to use your communication, like in personnel management and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But I think numbers is it's the primary, you know, in science, because doctors and dentists and engineers all goes into success in math, a lot of it in physics, sciences. And so you don't have to be verbal to succeed in those. You can still, you read, but a lot of times you read with a heavy accent to yourself. I mean, you speak to an accent, but you can read.
Uh-huh.
You have comprehension and gain success. So I think a lot of them open their mouth because their English is not that good. Then your development begins to fall farther and farther behind. But today you find a lot of young people don't limit themselves to those areas specifically. Begin to branch out. Some of this teaching, social, you know, sociology, but like I say, each one have their plus and minuses.
Do you have any expectations on your children's generation, on as far as jobs?
Children's generation, we just encourage them to go to school and try to give them the best education. I think most of the parents are doing that. For some of them,
expect them to finish college at least.
Well, we try to. I don't say it openly. My wife says, "Oh, you know, the kids know that you want them to finish college or go to college." But I'm never pushing them. And he said, "I just tell them to do the best they can, and that's what the best they've done in school, and look in the mirror and say that they've done their best. That's it." But then, of course, the kids don't read into that, those things. They read it, so you got to do well. My older son says, "I know you want me to do well in school, Dad." So, anyways. But, you know, kids, they're not a bump on a log. They know more than, you know, a lot of parents assume that they say some of the kids, they're not really getting it, but they get more than, they give them more credit than we give them.
Okay. How does religion come into play in your family? Were your parents religious at all? Did they go to church? Did you go to church?
Well, I went to church off and on because, most of the people went to Chinese church, Chinese, Japanese church. So I played with the Japanese most of the time. And most of those guys I played with didn't go to church. But they were good people. The families were good. A lot of the parents went to church, but they didn't. I don't know why they got away with it, but they did. So I went once in a while. I went to the Kong Church for a while, and then later on I went to the Press Church. It was on Adams and Peter. Now it's True Light up here. But I didn't go because of the fact that the kids that I was around were mostly, on those weekends, we were in sports. Okay, my kids are involved. My wife was very religious. She went to church. She was a deaconess in the church in San Diego. She came up here and joined the Kong Church. And then after she got with me, we stopped going to church with the kids. The two younger ones, we have three, very church. The oldest went to church and he had a very sad experience. And he went to a church one day when he was about 15, to another church. I don't know which church it was. I forgot which one, because he's good. When he asked a question, they're open. They say something and the minister right in front of everybody and says, "Who sent you? The devil?" When you have a big representative of God standing up there and tell you that, so he said, "Forget it." He got frightened and he left. Mm-hmm. He went back to church. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of question a person asks, they may just, it's a real question that they, I don't know what he said, but he just got so upset about it, he said, "I get it."
Did you go to church as a family with your children on Sundays?
No. I only went the time when my kids asked us to go, like Christmas and Easter, and what's the time that they have, about three times a year.
But otherwise, they would go on their own.
Oh, yeah. They still go. My son graduated from college, and he's been a sponsor. He's been like the advisor to the team, the high school group and his college group. In fact, he just went to, between SC finished their finals, he went up to Big Bear to a retreat this last week. Mm-hmm. Got stuck in the snow, so he just came back Saturday night.
Do you and your wife go to church now? Not too much, no?
I contribute once in a while. Mm-hmm. Send money once a year, twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we believe in, the thing is, I believe in, is if you have good, I'm not saying what's good for me is your good, but I'm just saying, let's just say that there's a standard of you and I, this is good, you don't rob and steal and all that, the values, morals and all that. That's fine, I'm living, this is what I feel, I'm honest, and I treat people with respect, and I take people for what they are. I try to. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We do have biases. We have everything. But if you live with this code, and I'm responsible for my action, and let live and let live. The neighbor, he has his rights, and I have my right. I don't step. I don't go over there and mutilate his law. I respect him, say hi to them, everything. I think, you're a good individual. You're living by, respect other people. You're better. And some people go to church and they rob and steal and they go on Friday and confess and then they say, "Well, I confess that all my wrongdoings I do, I'm clean." So
mm-hmm.
You have people like that. But I think, I know them. I used to read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
And I think, and then I go by the 10, commandments, or the golden rule, rather, do unto others as you have them do unto you. So I try to be to people like they don't treat. Of course, I'd argue with people before. I don't want them to treat me like that sometimes when I get mad when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Even as an adult, I got mad, but not as much as when I was a kid. A lot of times, you have more arguments when you're younger.
Mm-hmm.
More rambunctious. Mm-hmm. But I think you live by that, and I know the Christian doctrine. What else can I say?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think many American-born Chinese went to church?
I think so. A large number went. but I can't give you the exact percentage, but let's see, I'm talking, let's see, one, two, I guess about over half of them that I know, my friends went, yeah, I knew quite a few Chinese. Uh-huh. You know, the guys at Jeff and a lot of at Poly, and so that's about the, you know, the most of the Chinese went to Lincoln, Poly, Belmont, and Jeff. You know. Those are the four high schools where the majority in Los Angeles attended school.
Uh-huh.
So I think those are the extent, because when you look at the population of Chinese in the United States at that time, was, gee, maybe about, in 1940, I think it was about, what, less than 60,000 maybe. So I think 1940, maybe about, well, close to about 100,000. So you figure if we have 10,000 in the whole greater Los Angeles area, in fact, I don't think we had that many.
Yeah.
It was, you know, so we had several thousand just in these, just three areas. Mm-hmm. Chinatown, maybe down there, about maybe about 4,000 were the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably the larger pocket besides San Francisco. I don't know how large New York was before World War II, but it was significant. I was up there during the war. I flew up there. We took our airplane up there and spent a weekend, went to Chinatown. It just, yeah, a lot of Chinese there. Probably like, it's a little bit smaller in San Francisco, but I think it's smaller in LA then. But now I think they're pretty large.
Mm-hmm.
But now the Indo-Chinese influx, with many of them are Chinese ethnics, so we may have a pretty good sized group.
Mm-hmm.